And for those of you who do not know me, in case you're a guest with us today, my name is Bill Thornton. I am the interim minister here at Kingsway Christian Church. Last Sunday was a great occasion in the life of our congregation, as we had a congregational vote to extend a call to Rich and Carolyn Milliken to be a senior minister here at Kingsway Christian Church, a call which was enthusiastically accepted, received, and it won't be long before they will be here with us and will be leading among us. I believe they're planning on starting the 1st of June, so be praying for them. And let me just say something as the interim guy going out. I know, and you probably know too, that summertime can kind of be a lazy time in the church. In fact, if there is a time during the church year when we sometimes might be tempted to kind of check out, summertime might be that time. I want to encourage you not to let that be the case. I really am praying that June, July, and August will be a great start for the Milliken's here in the life of this congregation, and that you'll be enthusiastic supporters from day one. Yes, take your vacation, but when you are in town, be sure to be here to support and encourage, not only on Sundays, but throughout the week, the ministries of this church. It's a busy day, of course, with it being Mother's Day, and it's been a busy weekend for our family because of graduation at Nebraska Christian College, where I teach. I want to mention one of our notable graduates yesterday at NCC. He is not here today, but his wife, Virginia, is. David Haynes, who has been on the faculty at Nebraska Christian College for, I think, 15, 16 years, something like that, and, of course, served here as the founding minister and for many years the pastor of Kingsway Christian Church, was awarded by Hope International University and Nebraska Christian College with an honorary Doctorate of Divinity degree. And I know he's not here to hear us, but would you join me in just expressing congratulations? David and I are almost next door neighbors at NCC as far as our offices are concerned. We together on a regular basis complain about how lousy the Wi-Fi is at Nebraska Christian College. No, I'm pretty sure we've never, ever had a conversation about Wi-Fi. We do help each other. Between the two of us, together, we can run a computer. We're not exactly employed there because we are technologically savvy. I think there are other things that we maybe bring to the education of the students besides that, and it's an honor and a privilege for me to get to work alongside him. My mother, Lola Thornton, lived to be 90 years of age. She passed away a little over a year ago, actually on Valentine's Day of 2018. For whatever reason, I wasn't preaching on Mother's Day last year, so this is the first Mother's Day that I've had an opportunity to get up and talk, to preach following her death. So I'm really hoping this goes well. I think about my mom almost every day. When I think about the epitome of what it is to be a Christian mother, I think about my mom, Lola Thornton. And I am blessed that to be one of two sons that she raised, both of us who ended up being preachers. She was extraordinarily proud of that fact. I'm also blessed to be married to another exemplary Christian woman. I've had the good fortune, along with Marcia, to have raised two more, Tammy and Jenny, who are now raising their own, Anaya and Isley. Of course, I'm speaking about what I think is one of the most powerful forces in the church today, and that is Christian women. Of all places, it is in the church that we should acknowledge the significant role, the significant place that Christian women have in the home, in the workplace, and throughout the world. And this morning, I want us to spend a little bit of time considering a great woman of God that we read about in the book of Acts. Her name is Tabitha. So if you'll join me, we're going to actually read our scripture here at the beginning of the message in Acts chapter 9, beginning with verse 36 and down through verse 43 about a disciple named Tabitha and what the Bible tells us about this follower of Jesus. Acts 9, beginning with verse 36. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha. In Greek, her name is Dorcas. She was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time, she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa, so when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, "Please come at once." Peter went with them, and when he had arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas made while she was still with them. Peter sent them all out of the room, and then he got down on his knees and he prayed. And turning toward the dead woman, he said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. And then he called for the believers, especially the widows, and presented her to them alive. This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. And Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a tanner named Simon. Let us pray. God, we thank you for this great woman that we read about in the Bible today, a woman whose name was Tabitha, a woman who always went about doing good, who especially was known for helping the poor. God, I thank you for the good fortune that I've had in my life to know and to be loved by women like Tabitha. And I'm grateful that over the course of years of ministry in your church, I've had opportunity to observe a number of women who shared these same qualities. Lord, I pray that when we think about the young people, and especially the young women who are growing up before our eyes, that we would lift up qualities such as these before them as what they should pursue with their lives, particularly in the world in which we live. And would you guide us now as we consider what your word has to teach us today about discipleship? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So what do we know about Tabitha? I want to talk about three things today regarding Tabitha. First of all, her lifestyle. Her lifestyle, which we see described for us very briefly, but I think very effectively, even powerfully. What do we know about Tabitha? Her name means gazelle or antelope. Now, you know, we may not think that an appropriate thing to name a girl, a daughter today, but it wasn't unusual at this time in history or in this particular part of the world for parents to give their daughters names of beautiful, graceful animals. So it's not hard to imagine Tabitha, the woman that we read about today, as a graceful and grace-filled person, especially with what we know of what the Bible says about her lifestyle. She was always doing good as a follower of Jesus, in fact, helping the poor in his name. In other words, she lived a life that was marked by two things, consistency and compassion. She lived consistently and compassionately. And so for a few moments this morning, I'd like for us, when thinking about her consistent life, when thinking about her compassionate life, to reflect upon this question. What is it about my lifestyle, your lifestyle, whether you're a man or a woman, a boy or a girl here today in this room, what is it about our lifestyles that, like that of Tabitha, point to Jesus in a way that is both consistent, even compassionate? How are we in our homes, in the workplace, in the church, all over the world, whether it's being available to a next door neighbor, whether it's volunteering at a local agency or the local church, whether it's supporting mission work in another part of the world, I believe God is honored by these two things: consistency and compassion. I think when I think about what is tragically missing oftentimes in our individual and corporate or collective witness as a church, it is consistency. We may be there, but we're not there as consistently as we ought. Not like Tabitha, anyway. And compassion, yes, we have our moments, but I think it's all too easy for us to just acknowledge, well, I'm no Mother of Teresa, and I don't know that God really expects me to be. And yet, the example of people like that lifted up in Scripture, I'd like for us for just a few moments during this message to just think about that, to reflect upon that. What is there in my life, you know, to do a little evaluation just right now, what is there in my life that would say to those around me, they would see in me a consistency, a compassion even, that was also present in the person of Jesus? And I want to take this a little bit farther, and I want us to think in terms of application, each of us individually, with the Word of God. You know, in a very real sense, the Word of God has not been preached until the Word of God changes our lives. In a very real sense, the Word of God has not come in and had its informing impact in our lives until it's also had its transforming impact through our lives in the lives of those around us. In other words, would you consider this question with me? How might Jesus be inviting us to join him in this work that we see he himself doing when he is in this world, that we see Tabitha doing in her particular opportunity? How are we investing our lives for Christ? Do you know, I became aware this week, it's amazing to sit in staff meetings here at Kingsway Christian Church. I've learned a lot of things about this church over the last 5 months, being a participant in staff meeting. I learned this week, we have Vacation Bible School coming up this summer. I learned this week that by far the larger number of children and families who are impacted by this ministry are those outside of Kingsway Christian Church. Yes, we have participation from the church. We wouldn't be able to do it if it were not the case. But in terms of sheer numbers, we have more children coming from the neighborhoods around the church building than those children who are from Kingsway Christian Church, which I happen to think is a good thing. I think that's a healthy thing. I think it's a wonderful thing. You know, a lot of things over the years have changed in the church, but there's something significant about gathering children around the Word of God and fun activities, and particularly when you think about the opportunity to impact their lives over the course of several days together. Vacation Bible School and Christian Service Camp have this, like, seemingly even more impactful kind of way of helping children not only know who Jesus is, but to desire to follow him, to surrender to him with their lives. So I was trying to think of an example of how could you, if you were actually listening to what I had to say today, and if you actually considered the question, how might I invest my life? I want to tell you one way I know. There are other ways to be sure, but one way I know, Vacation Bible School. Do you know that one of the most difficult things to do in the life of a church is to recruit volunteers? I've been in ministry for over 40 years. I could tell you that some of the times when I felt the most hopeless about ministry was in the face of a volunteer shortage. Now, I don't know that that is the case here at all, but I just want you to know you can make Stacy and Matt's and Perry's and anybody else who's a ministry leader here at Kingsway Christian Church, you can help them do their job even more effectively if they don't have to seek you out. If you would, in fact, seek them out and say, how can I help you in your ministry? I know that Stacy, at this particular time, would welcome that kind of phone call, that kind of email to help with what I think is arguably one of our most impactful outreach ministries that we're going to do this summer, to invest our lives in something that's going to last beyond ourselves. And that brings me to the second thing I want to talk about today. In addition to Tabitha's lifestyle, her legacy. And I want to pick it up again. I know we read already the text, but I want to pick it up again in verse 37, where we read about her. About that time, she became sick and died. It's going to happen to all of us. Sooner or later, they are going to write these words. They're going to say these words about us. That person became sick and died. And her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa, so when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, please come at once. Now, if we have a little bit of an understanding of Bible geography, we understand the significance of the request that was made. This journey on foot would have taken all day long. The city of Lydda was 10 to 12 miles away, depending upon the Bible scholar that you read. And so you think about that. Going, making the intentional 10 to 12 mile hike from one community to the other, spending time there, and then making their way back. That would be quite an investment of time. Now, I wonder, why did they send for Peter? We're going to get back to the text in just a minute, but I wonder, why did they send for him? I mean, she's dead. She's gone. Were they looking for comfort? Or had they heard about the healings that had been done by the apostles in Jesus' name in Jerusalem, Acts 3 and 5, or in this nearby town of Lydda, earlier in Acts chapter 9. What we do know, verse 39, Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room where the body was present. And can you imagine this scene? All the widows standing around him, crying, and all they could do is show the robes that, and other clothing that were on display that she had made while she was with them. This was a woman who had left behind a legacy. There was something left even though she was gone. A legacy that was, note this with me, you know, a lot of times when we think of legacy, we think, well, it must be a lot of money or it must be a lot of fame. But her legacy, Tabitha's legacy, notice with me, it is practical. It's clothing. It's clothing. And it is personal. It is personal. She personally impacted the lives of this room full of people who were gathered there in tears. You see, in biblical times, and even today in some parts of the world, widows regarded as the most helpless of all, they and orphans. And here Peter is shown by these widows The legacy that Tabitha had left behind, she had cared for them personally. She had cared for them practically. And what a powerful statement her life had made. Now, I want us to reflect again for just a few moments. I want us to think for just a few minutes here today. All of us are going to leave some sort of impression after we are gone. In fact, I think we are wise when we live our lives with an awareness that someday it's going to come to an end. And we ought to envision what kind of end that we would like for our lives to have, and then live our lives in light of that. Have you considered your legacy? Have you considered how your legacy will say something to other people about Jesus of Nazareth, about your concern for them while you were here? And again, I'd like for us to think application this morning, for it's not too late. You see, wherever we are in our lives up to this moment in time is only a prelude to the rest of our lives, whether it be long or short. For example, if you're a young person today, over this weekend, we were challenged. In fact, it was in David's sermon, his message to the graduating seniors Friday night at the banquet, with the story of the rich young ruler, who came to Jesus and asked, What must I do to receive eternal life? And Jesus' response about keeping the commandments and his affirmation that he had, in fact, kept the commandments, and Jesus saying to him then in response, well, go, there's one thing you still lack. Go sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and come and follow me. And he went away sad, the rich young man did, because not only did he have a lot of stuff, but apparently his mountain of stuff had him as well. If you're a young person in the room today, please do not make the mistake of thinking that success in life is about how many toys that you can accumulate, how much stuff that you can possess. Rather, as a young person, I am so glad my mother and my father modeled this. And when I reported to them this sense in my own life, my own heart, a call by God to go into the ministry, that along the way from that early teenage moment throughout my lifetime, they have been encouragers of that call rather than discouragers by suggesting that maybe there might be an easier way or a better way or a more secure way to live your life. If you're a young person, would you serve with God's kingdom agenda in mind? Whatever it is that you choose to do, wherever it is that you go to college, whatever it is that you give your life to, or maybe you're middle-aged. Middle-aged, that's an elusive place in the lifespan, isn't it? I mean, I have found it started relatively early in my life, and I'd like to think it's still continuing in my life, even though I look in the mirror and I know better. But however you define middle age, you've lived long enough to know, maybe to experience some success, and yet you find that in that success, there's an emptiness inside. Success isn't all that it's cracked up to be. You can begin to see that the end of your life's journey is drawing closer, even as your birth and your early years move farther and farther behind in the rearview mirror. If you're middle-aged today, would you choose significance in life over success? By that I mean, would you invest eternally rather than just in this temporal life in which we live? Or if you're retired near the end, however many years the Lord may entrust, one of the joys of my life right now is the opportunity to know a number of people who volunteer part-time, full-time in service for Christ. People who, rather than thinking of retirement as a time of wonderful self-indulgence, have chosen instead to lay down their lives in service for Christ instead. Are you tired? Are you bored? Are you depressed? I'm not going to suggest that the reason for this is selfishness. But I do know that sometimes the focus of our lives can often be on ourselves. And the reason that we don't feel fulfilled is because we haven't discovered the joy of giving our lives away in the name of Jesus. Would you discover, once again, the joy that's found in serving others in love? We see this in Tabitha, in her life. I saw it in my mom's life. I see it in my wife's life. By God's grace, I'm having an opportunity to see it in my daughter's lives. And if I live long enough, I anticipate seeing it in my granddaughter's lives as well. All of this is possible because her life, her legacy, because of Tabitha's Lord. Verse 40. Jesus sent them all out of the room, and then he got down on his knees and prayed. Now, we know that Peter had seen Jesus raise the dead. In fact, I want you to note the remarkable similarity here between what Peter does with Tabitha and what Jesus did in raising the daughter of Jairus. In fact, when you read through the book of Acts, I love seeing these kind of like patterns of principles that develop, that in the case of the man who was lame from birth, Acts chapter 3, who was begging for alms at the temple, Peter said this, Acts 3, verse 6, silver or gold I do not have. But what I have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. And then later on in Acts 9, right before, in fact, this is the event that took place in Lydda, right before our text with Tabitha, Aeneas, a man who was paralyzed, had been paralyzed for 8 years. Peter said to him, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and take care of your mat. And immediately Aeneas got up. And then we return to verse 40. And it's Peter with another person, only this time not lame, not paralyzed, but dead. Turning toward the dead woman, he said, Tabitha, get up. And she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand, helped her to her feet. Then he called the believers and the widows and presented her to them alive. And this became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. So a few thoughts in closing. Is it possible that in the church, we think way too much about what we can do or cannot do, and woefully too little about what God, what Christ can do through us if we would just give him our lives and surrender? I want us to remember on this Mother's Day that wherever the risen Christ is present, there is power to bring new life, new beginnings. And that ought to energize every single one of us in this room who follow him. Can you imagine what could happen if in each of us and in all of us, the risen Christ had access to our lives, that his way was taking place in our lives? You see, this is how Jesus does his work today, through us. As he did long ago through a disciple named Tabitha, he desires to do through you and me today as we surrender our lives to him. This morning we're going to sing an invitation song which expresses that very thing. All to Jesus I surrender. Would you come to him? Would you make yourself available to him? Would you surrender to him as we stand together and sing?